Hey, it's a Week 16 NFL review and a 49ers-Colts Monday night preview. Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Shots and Tenier NFL podcast for Monday, December 22nd, 2025. I'm Aaron Schatz. You know me as that DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He is Mike Tenier, and you know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. And we are here to talk about the week of the ginormous comeback. Huge comebacks from the Seahawks, the Bears, the Patriots, and not the Lions. And of course, if you're watching us live, which we do at 11 a.m. on Monday and this week, Wednesday.
Yes.
You can ask questions or make comments. I actually wanted to start with the comeback that didn't happen because I think it's interesting that the Lions-Steelers game was not in any way close by DVOA.
No, that was a Steelers blowout by DVOA.
Yeah, right? Steelers at 70%, Lions at minus 19. Steelers had 6.9 yards per play. The Lions had 5.2. The Lions never should have been in this thing at the end.
Agreed.
And did you think it was OPI on Amon-Ra St. Brown on that final play?
On the final play?
Yes.
Absolutely. There was a play a couple before that that was wacky, but that was pretty clear OPI. You can't just go up, shove Jalen Ramsey, and then come up and wait for your little little comeback round.
I mean, I don't think they did a good job of explaining. Like, if I was the refs, I would not have come on and said, the first thing I'd say was touchdown. Like, I would have said, the game is over. That's the first thing I would have said is the game is over.
Yes.
The Steelers have won. Here's what's happened.
All the dipsy-doo that happened at the end with guys jumping over the end zone, none of that's real. None of that's real. Get that out of your head. Because I was still trying to sort through that. That entire final drive was ref ball for the ages. Like, you could sit there. That Lions drive where, because there's a tripping penalty, there's a pass interference on fourth down. It's just like, and like some of the calls are fine, but it's just like ref ball, ref ball, ref ball, ref ball. That's one of the reasons why it was close, is because it was like penaltying your way down the field.
I came out of it feeling like the Steelers are better than I thought they were.
Yeah.
I think I said last week that, in my opinion, the AFC was very up in the air. I don't think the Chargers can win it, and I don't think that whoever wins the AFC North can win it, but the other five teams, it could be any of them.
Right.
I've changed my mind. Mm-hmm. I think it could be any of the seven.
It could be any of the seven.
The Chargers had a good game. I mean, yes, it's going to be very hard to overcome the offensive line issues, but they had a very good game this week against Dallas. And the Steelers surprised me by how strong that they are. Despite the fact that they basically have one wide receiver, which is DK Metcalf, and Kenneth Gainwell, who, if Tony Romo is the greatest receiver among running backs that has ever been, but I think the Steelers have a shot with TJ Watt, assuming will be healthy for the playoffs. I think the Steelers honestly have a shot. I mean, it's a nightmare. The idea of Aaron Rodgers being back in the Super Bowl,
no.
Media narrative. Nightmare,
right?
But they do have a shot.
I keep seeing in my mind that one of the teams with a vicious pass rush, and that would be the Texans, that would be the Broncos when they've got their stuff together, it'd be the Jaguars. It could also be the Steelers, of course, especially when they have Watt back, but they haven't been that great at pass rush this year, are going to both destroy Rodgers because they're going to get a real pass rush on them, and nerf them down a little bit. And it's going to be one of those teams that walks away with it, because if you're winning with four, you're going to get to those guys. And there's too many teams in the AFC right now, including the Ravens, who can't win with four. And that's who like the Rodgers has been picking on. Lions are an example. They can't win with four, because if you double up Hutchinson, that's kind of it for them pass rush wise.
Yeah. Hitchhiker's Pie says Rodgers, if protected,
yeah,
is showing he's fine. Right. Yeah. The question is what happens in a game where he's not protected. Operatic says if they suspend Metcalf, they're just going to line up Darnell Washington in the slot. They'll just run over opposing cornerbacks.
Right.
They're saying Chad Johnson, I guess, talked to somebody who was at the sitting there or something, and that apparently this guy called Metcalf the N-word. The first thing I heard was that the guy in the stands called him by his actual legal name, and Metcalf doesn't like that. Okay. But that's not a reason to hit a guy. I mean, nothing is a reason.
Nothing is a reason when you're – yeah, right.
The N-word makes more sense.
It makes more sense. Right, right. It doesn't sound like –
when stuff like this happens, people realize just the kind of awful things that people in the stands say to athletes. It's kind of terrible.
Right. Oh, no. That's endemic, and it's disgusting. And I wonder how the guy got all the way down there to talk to Metcalf. Like, how does that happen? I don't get them. Because there was a security guard there who didn't do anything. Maybe he really said, hey, I've got a sick grandson. Like, you know, did that kind of move to work his way down there and be that kind of POS when he got there. That said, you know, whatever Metcalf, because Metcalf, it looks like he did one of these and one of these.
Yeah.
It's you can't. Thing is, if he's suspended, what game is he going to get suspended for? Is it going to be?
I guess it'll be next week.
Who's next week?
All the Steelers need is to win one of their last two or have the Ravens lose one of their last two. And they win the division.
And you know who you don't need to beat the Browns right now? Pretty much anyone. You just have to not beat yourself. So
Yeah. The Lions are interesting. The Lions, if the season ended today, would be the third best team by DVOA to miss the playoffs.
Interesting.
Behind the 2004 Bills and the 1991 49ers.
Okay.
Who would have made the playoffs if there were seven seeds like there are today?
Best team in the seventh seed era by far to not make
it. No. The Bills would have been the eighth seed. So even with seven seeds, they wouldn't have made it in 2004. But that's the team that lost to the Steelers backups in week 17. But they had an awesome defense and special teams. The 91 team is Montana gets hurt and Young gets hurt. And they ended up with Sono playing most of the year.
I got you, babe.
The Lions, you know, I had a Lions guy say to me in my Blue Sky mentions that the Lions need totally overhaul everything. And I don't think that that is true. I think they need to figure out why they get so many injuries.
Uh-huh.
And they need to get a little bit more offensive line depth.
Yep.
And pass rushers.
There's a obstinance that has defined them this season, going back to not addressing the pass rush in the offseason.
And Jalen Phillips would have been a really nice ad for them.
Right.
What did the Eagles trade?
Not much. I forget. It was a fourth or something. Right. Or third.
The Lions don't have a third, but they have a fourth.
Right. They could have made a move. They could have done that. You also have this fourth down situation where they have not optimized fourth downs.
Right. If you're going to go for fourth down all the time, you need to be optimized to get fourth downs all the time.
Right. It can't be, Goff is skittish in fourth down, or we're going to run the double reverse, or Dan Skipper's going to get a penalty because we lined him up in the wrong place. It has to be optimized. Obviously, the Eagles game was defined by fourth downs. Packers game was defined by fourth downs. Fourth down stop early in this game when they drive down to the goal line.
I believe that the models had that one as a field goal as the better choice.
Right. Right.
The math models. But Campbell's not, he's past math models at this point. He just goes. That's his thing. And good. Look, in one way, good for him because he's got an identity. He keeps to it. It's nice that there's actually a coach who goes when the models say not instead of only the other way around. But if they're going to do this, they need to get their fourth down. I mean, it's not as bad as like trying to snap the ball through the tight end's legs to the running back.
It's the same coaching group, right?
It's the same coaching group.
It's the same. So that's a little tick they have that they've got to solve, and that might be solved by Campbell giving a play calling to someone else besides Morton. It might be solved by, they might have to make changes at the coordinator positions. I don't know. But folks who are like, overhaul everything. The fact is, it's an existential crisis, and you're seeing everything's peaked and going the other way. Goff has peaked and is going the other way. Offensive line peaked and is going the other way. And that there's got to be an urgency to turn that around.
The other three comebacks, two of them had reverse post-game win expectancy, and the other one was 50-50. Mm-hmm. Matthew Carley says, did the Rams lose their fourth game of the year with positive post-game win expectancy?
Yes.
Yep. They did. So let's take the three comebacks. We'll take them in time order. So Seahawks, Rams. Seahawks had post-game win expectancy of 39%.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks actually had the higher DVOA in this game, but the Rams ran 26 more plays.
Right.
Normally, when you run 26 more plays, you are going to win.
Right.
Stafford had the best DYAR game of the year for a quarterback once you adjust for the quality of the Seahawks defense.
Wow.
But we knew the Rams special teams were the problem, and we knew the Seahawks special teams were good. And this is, if I can take a little bit of a victory lap, why it is good that unlike most other advanced metrics on the internet, I do include special teams because they are less predictive than offense and defense, but they still do predict something.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are good at it, and the Rams are not.
Right, right. They're less predictive, but not unpredictive, and it was – number two in the league versus number 27 or something like that in the league. And you got a coach fired.
And number two in the league with a number that normally would be number one.
Right.
The Jets and Seahawks both would be among the top 10 special teams ever if the season ended today. Both special teams units.
And you had a one team that said, let's maximize our special teams by bringing in a return man. The other team that, like, we knew we had a problem. We better change kickers. We better change kickoff specialists. And it didn't really keep. So you can tell the teams are doing these things to optimize it. So when you're doing predictive, you have to at least try to adjust for it.
Darnold had a comeback. Mm-hmm. So the storyline that we've been doing about, well, what happens when the Seahawks need to come back? Is their offense going to be able to do it? They did.
An 8-point overtime comeback, in addition to all the stuff that was fueled more by the kicking game and stuff like that.
By the way, you asked in the Two Deep Zone today whether the Rams are still the number one offense. They're the number one offense by more than 10 percentage points.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I guess
the Seahawks are the number one defense, but it's close between them and Houston. The Rams are the number one offense, and no one is close to them.
Right. I was going to text you and ask you that. I feel like, nah, it's fine. I know how these things go. No, not surprising at all.
But the Seahawks are now Super Bowl favorites because they're the favorites for the one seed. Even though I know we're all like still feel like Darnold may turn into a pumpkin when we get to the playoffs, they are going to be the one seed, which means they get the home field advantage. And my numbers think that the Rams and Seahawks are way better than the rest of the league. So they're Super Bowl favorites.
The team that always gets it done in the playoffs ain't in the playoffs this year. The other team here in Philadelphia that gets it done in the playoff looks like, so you might have to trust a team that doesn't get it done in the playoffs because that's kind of all that's left. Real quick, Seahawks are DVOA Super Bowl favorites. Rams are plus 400, Seahawks plus 500, Bills plus 850 right now. Those are your front runners in the actual.
We'll get to the percentages in a little bit, but the DVOA suggests to put money on almost every other team in the AFC besides the Bills. I know that there's this trust in the Bills that there isn't in the other teams, but if you look at the seeding and how well teams have played, the Bills do not necessarily have a great chance to move on.
I understand. I watched that Browns game.
They almost lost to the Cleveland freaking Browns.
We're looking for ways to self-destruct. Let's come up with a new, interesting way to self-destruct. The game ends. I come home. I sit at my desk. Well, obviously, the Bills could make the Super Bowl. My brain gets wiped, you know, because of Josh Allen.
There's this feeling that when they get to the playoffs, Josh Allen will just raise his game and all the attempts to self-destruct that the rest of the team has won't matter anymore.
I think the problem is his game is already raised. His game is raised. Everyone else has to raise their game, and we're waiting.
Bears-Packers. Bears' post-game win expectancy was 38%. They also had the higher DVOA in this game, but the Packers had more plays and fewer penalties.
Okay.
So we would normally expect the Packers to win because they ran more plays and had fewer penalties. The onside kick recovery was crazy. It's crazy to recover an onside kick in the modern NFL. Okay. The fact that the Packers, it was basically like deja vu from 10 years ago, was kind of wild.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to point out Matt LaFleur's ability to scheme for Malik Willis is kind of amazing.
Yes.
And Malik Willis has a shoulder injury, and Jordan Love is in concussion protocol, and they may be starting Clayton Toon against the Ravens on Saturday night.
I'm in tune, right in tune. Packers are done, folks. Packers are done, and we could talk about Parsons. Injuries everywhere. Injuries all through that receiver.
I mean, the Packers aren't done in that because the Lions lost, the Packers are much more likely to get the 7.
Yeah.
But then they're going to have to go to – I guess they're going to have to go to Chicago, I guess.
Or they're going to come to Philly with nothing left to in the tank, you know. So, And man, I have never seen more horizontal plays in the red zone than I saw this year from the Green Bay Packers. Someone has to take LaFleur and just point him, turn him 90 degrees.
I don't think that's that Love can't whip it in the end. I mean, in the red zone, he's having an amazingly good season, efficiency-wise.
He can whip it. Jacobs fumbled, obviously, but for most of the year, Jacobs available. He's obviously a good short yardage guy. Willis is out there. Willis can run, and yet, like, everything was a swing pass to the perimeter. This was the same problem against the Panthers in that loss where they lost.
It's almost like Savion Williams is there to tickle LaFleur's worst tendencies.
I love the way you said that. It's gross, but it's accurate. Yeah, we need to break out the Savion package right now. Let's spice things up. Let's get the frog out there.
Seahawks 39% post-game win expectancy, Bears 38%, Patriots 50%.
Yeah.
50-50.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody on the internet basically agreed with me, but just make sure I don't have my Patriots glasses on.
All right.
That was DPI and Marlon Humphrey, right?
Oh, God. Holy cow. I'm so glad it had no impact on the game. I was trying to figure out what went on. You're watching on TV. The clock is running. It's saying 2nd and 10. The ball's bouncing around. Who was it? Butte?
The
receiver.
It was Booty, yeah.
Booty or Holly, it was Booty. He's like looking around like, well, obviously that's pass interference. Let me dust myself off. And everyone's looking around. I think Humphrey was like.
It's the most obvious pass interference you can have. Deep pass, receiver is open, and the defender basically tackles him to prevent a touchdown.
Right.
That's the DPI-est of DPI's. It was not an underthrown pass.
No.
I can't believe that was not called.
I can't believe it was not called. That was the worst call of the week. Second worst call was this roughing the punter that they didn't call against the Panthers, who like slaughtered the punter for the Buccaneers. But like no one cares.
There's also a really bad roughing the passer in, I think, Giants-Vikings?
Yeah. Yes.
Where it looks a little bit like it's head-to-head contact, but when you look at it, it's not head-to-head contact. And it does sort of emphasize the idea of being able to review roughing the passer, because sometimes it's a lot easier to see that it is or isn't head-to-head contact when you slow it down.
Right. It was almost like a protect the dart play. It's like, that was a horrible call. It's like, well, darts suffered enough. Let's give them the call.
We said before the game, the problem is the Ravens can't pressure with four, and you can't blitz Drake May because he's great against the blitz.
Yes.
He was not as good against the blitz as he usually is in this game. And it didn't matter because you can't pressure him with four, and the Patriots won. I mean, they're going to run into in the playoffs. You pointed this out in your comp today.
Yeah.
If you look at the rest of the AFC teams, you get a lot of teams that can pressure with four.
Yes.
And the Patriots are going to have to make it through all those teams that can pressure with four, like Houston, like Denver, like Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I think like the Steelers when TJ Watt is healthy. They're going to have to get through all those teams, and that is going to be difficult.
Right. And the thing they have going for them is most of those teams have rickety offenses. So it's like, yeah, we got pressure. We made May mortal. We held them to 20 points. Now, can you score 23? You don't always get the right answer from teams like the Texans.
The team with the best offense among those teams is, let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Parker Washington game. And if they're getting that out of their third receiver, the Jaguars are hot. We'll get to the weighted DVOA top 12 in a second, but essentially the Jaguars are right now the best team in the AFC.
I was wondering, and I should have asked you before then, is this the best Jaguars team of the 21st century?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would probably say, I'm going to guess that if you use weighted DVOA at least, yes, this is the best Jaguars team since 2000, right? 1999 was, amazing.
Right. The Coughlin years. Since the Coughlin years when they were phenomenal. It's better than the Bortles teams.
The Gerard, yeah.
Right. I'll look it up, but that's something. And, people are asking about it. It's like, they've eliminated the mistakes. That's the short answer. They've eliminated the mistakes. It's not two penalties per series anymore, and that's helped. And they're not goofing off with Travis Hunter anymore. That helped. And now Trevor Lawrence is not facing 1st and 20 all the time. It's a very simple difference, very simple fix.
Yeah, the Myers thing has really opened up the middle of the field.
Yes, Yes.
Even though it was a lot of Parker Washington in this game, the Myers thing has really changed their offense. Their running game is not as good in recent weeks, and it wasn't good in this game either.
No.
And they kept trying to get swing passes to the running backs going against Denver, which is the best defense in the league against running backs as receivers. So I don't know what was up with that. Right. But the Jaguars, now, I disagree with you, I think, a little bit, because you talked about the problem that the Bo Nix is a bit limited and that, therefore, there isn't that sense that the Broncos can, like, raise it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like Houston, the Denver defense can raise it to the next level, even if they're Lawrence can raise it to the next level, Allen can raise it to the next level, Drake May can raise it to the next level. The Houston defense can raise it to the next level. I think the Denver defense can too.
The reason why I give pause to that, first of all, is because they faced an easier schedule than the Texans. And secondly, because there are holes in the secondary. There are no holes in the Houston secondary.
Yeah, they were going – the Parker Washington thing is McMillan. They were going after McMillan, not Riley Moss. They were going after the cornerback.
And they had rookie Barron out there.
Nickelback, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, they got to – yeah, the rookie Barron was out there, and they were going after him a little bit too. And there was another pass interference penalty, not by Moss, one of the other guys that got it down to the one-yard line. So that penalty element of things, like, it almost – in my – estimation limits the ceiling of the Broncos defense, whereas the Texans just go out there and play base and beat you.
Yeah. The Hitchhiker's Pie says by DVOA, the best Jags team is 99.
Oh,
and
wow.
This team is below 2006.
2006?
Yeah.
2006.
But again, they're hotter. We'll talk about weighted in a second. They're hotter in recent weeks. And the turnaround was the Jacoby Myers trade.
Yes.
Here is our current playoff odds for the AFC. And when we say anybody can win it, I mean, listen, my numbers like the Seahawks and Rams better than any other ratings out there. Okay? We're the only people who have the Seahawks and Rams at historic levels and not kind of back with the rest. You know, everyone has the Seahawks and Rams as the top two teams in the NFC, but we're the only ones who have them like way ahead. But in the AFC, it is anybody's game. Here's our current playoff odds. Denver, 27. Jacksonville, 22. New England, 16. Pittsburgh, 11.5. Houston, 10.5. Buffalo, 7. Chargers, 6.
That's like the first primary election when there's no front runner to be president.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of people. Everybody just voted for their cousin or for their neighbor. Like, there's nothing there that you can hang around.
Like the polling right now. That's like the polling right now for Pete Buttigieg of it and stuff. Yeah, it's like no one knows who's running. So, 27% and 22% as the top two teams is crazy low.
That's remarkable.
So there's no reverse post-game win expectancy games to talk about because we just talked about them. Here is the weighted DVOA top 12. Kansas City, by the way, terrible this week, falls way out. They are 17th now in weighted DVOA.
Well, third string quarterback had to finish that game.
San Francisco, 12.
Playing tonight.
Philadelphia up, down one spot to 11.
Okay, played a weak opponent.
Chicago, 10, up three spots.
Moving their way up there, improving steadily.
Pittsburgh, 9, up five spots.
Also improving, sadly. Big win over a high DVOA opponent.
Green Bay down 1-8.
And falling.
Cleveland. Denver down 1-7.
Feels right for them.
Houston down 1-6.
That was a tough game. I thought that one would have been post-game win expected.
I was like, oh my God, if the Raiders win this, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, what happened? The Houston offense finally woke up in the second half, but what happened in the first half of that game? Houston had no offense against a terrible, terrible defense. I mean, the Raiders did it with a couple of fluky, long...
Yes. Genty bombs.
But they were controlling the Houston offense. I mean, I realize the Vegas defense is better than people realize. I think they're like 19th or something. They're not like...
Right, you got Max Crosby running around, yeah.
But... Yeah, Houston's got to look at themselves and figure out why their offense could move the ball in this game.
And most of the guys were healthy. I don't know about the offensive line, but Stroud, Collins, they were there.
Jacksonville up 3-5.
No match for 2016. Hitchhiker, drop it in the Discord. 2006? They went 8-8 that year. But anyway, let's not derail the podcast.
And the Colts, the 2006 Jags are on the list of the best teams to ever miss the playoffs.
Okay. 8-18, though. Goodness. Okay.
Number four is the Colts. So tomorrow, the Jaguars will be four.
Will be fourth.
Unless something really weird happens tonight. Tomorrow, the Jaguars will be the number one team in the AFC by weight and DVOA.
Old man Rivers.
And then Detroit is still three, but falling.
And
then a gigantic gap, 20 percentage points.
Okay.
And then the Rams and Seahawks are essentially tied.
Essentially tied, but Seahawks officially number one right now, right?
Seahawks are officially number one by 0.4%.
And where are your New England Patriots now?
15th, I think, in weighted.
So the Bears have kind of slid because the Bears were below the Patriots. Yeah,
the Bears are playing better. The Patriots are playing closer than the Bears are. The Bears are proving more in recent weeks than the Patriots are. Again, it's so weird, you know, because normally I root kind of for my numbers. Clearly, in this way, I'm not rooting for my numbers. I want my numbers to be wrong. I would love for the Patriots to go all the way. I would love for the Patriots to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'd love for the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, it would be amazing. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I would like to see like a Patriots-Bears reverse DVOA bowl so we could get a good look at them against each other. I feel like that would like make me feel more confident.
You know, it would be weird to have that be the Super Bowl. Would just have that as a game. But
yes,
that might be the Super Bowl. That would be the worst DVOA matchup ever in the Super Bowl, I think.
Wow.
Because there have been worse teams to make the Super Bowl, but not against each other.
Right, right.
If the Bears play the Patriots. Although, again, like someone said to me, are the Bears going to be the worst one seed? Or are the Patriots going to be the worst one seed ever? And the worst one seed ever is the 2021 Titans. And the answer is, if they play well enough to be the one seed, they probably won't. They'll probably go up, and therefore they won't be the worst one seed ever.
Right.
And 2021, because they're not the one seed right now.
That Titans team has something in common with this current Patriots team, doesn't it?
It does. It has something very big in common with this current Patriots team.
And also,
they lost in the playoffs in their first game.
Well, yes, yes. Good point. And also, Bears-Patriots Super Bowl? Bears-Patriots Super Bowl? You have flashbacks? You have nightmares? Yeah.
40-year anniversary, by the way.
Oh, shuffle on through.
It would be amazing. That would be the 40-year anniversary. Oh, God, you know it. You know somebody would do an updated, like, mumble emo rap version of the Super Bowl shuffle. Oh, I don't know who's the hot rapper from Chicago right now, but, it's coming.
Get Common out of retirement or wherever he is.
No, some young whippersnapper on TikTok or something. Monday Night Football, the 10-4 49ers at the 8-6 Colts. The 49ers are the top offense in the league since week 10. Their running game has played a little bit better.
Okay.
Matthew Carley says they're hoping for reinforcements in the front seven. Bethune, Elliott, Eric Kendrick. God, Eric Kendrick is like our age.
Him and Philip Rivers can go out for early bird special dinner before the game.
It's going to be a case of when the Colts are on offense, it'll be Rivers getting the ball fast against a 49ers pass rush that doesn't exist. The 49ers are 31st in pass rush win rate, but the Colts are without their tackles. Both of them. The AFC tackle situation this year, the offensive tackle situation, the number of AFC contenders who have lost their offensive tackles is crazy.
Right.
Chiefs and Chargers and the Patriots and the Colts and the not the Broncos.
The Bills lost theirs for a couple weeks.
They were right tackle. Like, it's kind of nutty with the offensive tackles with the AFC contenders.
And the Broncos, one of their strengths is both tackles very good. Both of them are healthy. And the Chargers are now like, we were born into this darkness. We're used to it. Bring back Deculus. Bring back Bobby Hart. We get three tackles hurt in the game. We'll still hold the Cowboys sackless. Come at us.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, I think people are upset at me because I said something about Herbert not being great this year on the Mina Kimes podcast last week. I think what I was saying was his numbers are not great this year, which they're not, in part because of Deculus and stuff like that. All right. I mean, listen, I'm not I feel like there's a middle ground between Herbert's numbers and the accolades that he gets from the film watchers. Like, there's a middle ground, I think.
There is a middle ground, right? And this is a season, you notice I've done no Herbert slander all year. Because
he's absolutely risen above the situation that he's in.
Exactly. But you slandered Herbert on the Mina podcast?
But if you ask me who I wanted right now as a quarterback, if I could have every quarterback in the NFL healthy, fully healthy, I'm sorry, Herbert would not be in the top five.
I'd want Allen. I'd want Mahomes. Yep. I'd want Lamar. I'd want Burrow. I guess I still want Stafford. And
my fifth would be Drake May.
You want May now because you want the upside. I can see that. I can see that. Then Herbert's in there.
Yeah, Stafford. And then, Herbert might be like seventh.
Right.
He's better than his numbers, certainly.
Right.
Anyway, the Colts, the 49ers are only favored by 5.5. It's in Indianapolis. The Colts defense is better than people realize. They're 12th in DVOA. But again, this is the best pass offense in the game since week 10.
Right.
And Phillip Rivers, I know there's not going to be a lot of pass pressure, but he's not getting the ball. There's no Alec Pierce deep shots coming here.
There's no deep shots. They'd have to scheme a deep shot up with absolute max protect. I think there's the house. A lot of people in the public didn't watch the game. Heard, they almost beat the Seahawks. Very borrowed time. Rivers is on very borrowed time back there. Also, both corners are out at this point. Sauce and Ward are out for the Colts.
Yes.
Both tackles are out. This 5.5. I'm going to just hammer the Niners.
Same here. All right. That does it for the show, folks. Thank you all for watching and listening. And we will be back on Christmas Eve next 2 weeks. The preview shows will be Wednesday rather than Thursday. So Christmas Eve at 11 a.m. Eastern and then New Year's Eve also at 11 a.m. Eastern. He's Mike Tenier. I'm Aaron Schatz. So long, folks. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday.